Good morrow, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are, children, and welcome back to another episode of Crow and Fern's Guide to Weird Fiction, Folklore, Mythology, and everything in between, where I, Crow, talk about weird fiction and other person.
And me, Fern. I, Fern, talk about folklore, mythology, and everything in between. I thought you were going to say that bit.
No, I would like you talk about folklore, and together we cover everything in between. And I'm back. It's me. It's a Crow episode again.
Finally.
Bet you weren't expecting that.
I bet they were not at
yes,
this point.
Yes, finally. I've been away 16 years. It was basically Fern and Fern's Guide to Fern Stuff, Fern and everything in between. But now I'm back, and I am going to bombard you guys with all of the weird fiction, all of the writing tips, I guess, coming from someone who writes but has not really published anything. So we are learning together. We're together in this boat. We all learn as one. And also I'm going to tell you about some fucked up stuff.
Yeah!
So before that, though, Fern, would you like to tell us how you are?
I'm good. I'm all good in the hood. How? I don't know. I don't have any great answers. I'm fine.
That's how you know it's a me episode, because I want to know how everyone is, and Fern wants to jump right into things. That is I distract myself, and she is practical. That is what makes us friends.
Listen.
That's
my
how we're compatible.
My little autistic brain can't handle all of the small talk.
And my ADHD brain also can't handle small talk, but I keep forcing myself to blend in. And I fail.
It's not my fault.
Well, I'll tell you guys a little bit about my disastrous trip. It was disastrous.
It sure was.
It was a disaster from... Nope. It was fine at the beginning. The flight to the UK was great. No complaints there. I suffered major culture shock, which I wasn't expecting, but everyone else in my life expected. And then I decided that everything that I was experiencing was bad, even though it wasn't. It was perfectly normal, and everyone goes there and has a really good time, and all of my friends absolutely love it. And then the trip home was a disaster.
No, that really was. I was actually very concerned for your safety.
She was there throughout. Like, literally, me and Fern were, talking throughout, and there was no internet, so it was really difficult to get a connection where I could talk to her. But she was very supportive, and I really appreciated having her there. I think I would have had a meltdown if you hadn't been there, actually. I did have one meltdown, but it was only
one.
There
were meltdowns, but we kept it under control.
It was only one.
No, but I don't blame you. It was actually, I was legit concerned about your safety at one point, so I'm glad you made it back.
It was bad. Yeah, I had my first racist experience ever. Which is, I've had racist experiences before, but it was, more microaggressions. Mm-hmm. But this was my first in-your-face racist experience. So everyone in the UK was actually really nice, just to clarify that. Everyone was super nice. They smiled at you all the time. They held the, doors for you. Even border control was really nice, actually. So I had a really pleasant experience throughout that. But it was when I was leaving, a random... I don't want to say white, but she was white. Stewardess was incredibly aggressive to myself and my elderly mother. So that was really cute. She made me feel incredibly unsafe. I actually complained, and I'm still following up on that complaint, seeing where it goes. So yeah, don't let that be you. Mm-hmm. Don't be the racist person who ruins literally I was going to leave the UK thinking, oh, people here aren't racist, they're pretty nice, and then she shit on that very end as we were leaving. So don't let that be you. Well, you know, don't give people a bad impression.
Most of the people in the UK were fine. It was just this one crazy lady.
Everyone was fine. Not even most. Everyone.
Except for her.
From the minute we landed until her.
Yeah.
So what does that say about her? Is that like, what does it say?
Not
you know?
Things.
So yeah, she was just a really shit person. And I'm pretty sure nothing's going to happen to her. But yeah, there is a random lady who is talking shit about you on a random podcast. Now, person who I'm not going to
name. She's never going to hear about. We are small.
That she's never going to hear about. Okay. We are tiny, but listen, it's, you know what? I'm going to write a book and she's going to be a random, insignificant character who is going to be racist to my characters. And everyone is going to just not do anything about it, but realize that she's racist. I'm kidding. Probably not. Anyway, so yeah, it was a disastrous trip home, but I'm fine now. It took me a long time to kind of wake up. I watched three super weird movies on the flight back home. Those might turn into episodes. They might not. It depends. But today, what are we doing today? Do you know?
I feel like you told me and I've forgotten. Except, no, you didn't tell me.
I didn't tell you.
I didn't forget.
So you did not forget.
So
you're
I don't
a good
know.
Fern.
I am a good fern. Thank you. Just growing in my little forest in peace.
So today is going to be an everything in between episode because I randomly mentioned.
Oh no! This
like
is
the evolution
the
of this episode
one,
is that
it?
Basically. It was going to be a butt one, actually. I started, I researched it. Like, me and Fern mentioned in one of her episodes that I was going to do an episode about weird butts. I asked on our Weird Lit if there were any books, like weird fiction books that included butts in them, aside from Cursed Bunny.
And your post got deleted, I think.
I'm pretty sure I did get banned from that subreddit. It was on an alt account. But I'm pretty sure I got banned. I didn't check. I'm not brave enough.
It's possible. Because I was thinking you made an alt. And I was like, well, it could just be like an auto-delete because it's a new account. And a lot of...
It's a new
a
account.
A lot of subreddits will like delete auto-delete your posts if your account is new. So I kind of wonder if that might be it.
Especially if the new account is asking about
you
butts.
Know, I can't even blame them for that.
Me neither. Honestly, I wasn't even upset. I was just like, you know what? Like, everyone hates mods, but in this case, it's understandable. So,
indeed.
So, no, I was actually going to do that, so I couldn't do that. And then I decided to do an episode about weird butts in a medical way, but then I couldn't really find anything that was considered weird. Other than this thing called gluteal amnesia. Yep. Which is apparently not really a thing. It's a myth. Yeah, it's basically like the theory.
Your butt forgets or you forget you have
you
a butt?
You forget that you can contract your butt muscles, which causes weakness in the hips.
Huh.
Yes, but it's not actually a thing. It's not actually a medical thing. It's
okay.
A myth. Like, you will find a lot of articles about it, but medically it is not technically an actual thing. There is a disease related to it. But it's like gluteal amnesia is not
okay.
A thing. No one's going to diagnose you with gluteal amnesia. So instead, I ended up thinking, gluteal amnesia, possible paresthesia. What can we do with this? So I ended up remembering a disorder that came up while I was watching an Egyptian movie called Not Me.
I don't think I've heard of that one.
So in that...
We only get so many Egyptian,
I don't think
like, foreign movies over here. Although, Netflix likes to recommend a ton of Turkish drama series to me for some reason. Listen, Netflix, I watched one. I watched one of them. I don't need all of them.
She watched one of them.
I did.
And she thinks one Turkish actor is hot. Who I also
that's not why
hot.
I was. He was. I don't remember his name either. But that's not why I watched it. I watched it because This is stupid, but I watched a little bit just because I was curious, and a lot of the architecture and various practices reminded me of Romania, and then I got like really homesick, and I was like, oh, and there was like this mother figure that reminded me of like all the little grandmas I used to know in Romania, and then I went into a nostalgia like homesick rabbit hole, and I was like, I was actually watching for the mother figure because she was like nostalgia in a cup, like it was so. It just reminded me of Romania, and I have not been back for a very long time.
That's a really cute reason, honestly. That's a really really cute reason. Instead of watching for hot dudes.
I mean, he was hot. He was hot, but that was not the reason. It didn't hurt.
He was pretty hot.
It didn't hurt.
It hurt me. So, yeah. Anyway, how did we get to Turkish dramas? Oh, yeah, right. So there is an Egyptian movie called Not Me, and it's basically about a dude who suffers from the syndrome that we're going to talk about today. It is known as Alien Hand Syndrome.
Dun, wait, I think I've heard of dun, this. Dun. I think I have heard of this. This is the one where, like, you get, like, a transplant and the organ doesn't...
No.
This isn't the one where someone gets, like, a serial killer's hand stitched onto their body and the hand starts killing people and they can't control it?
No. But I'm intrigued.
You haven't heard this one?
No, but I have heard of it, and I've heard of one where you get like a heart transplant and it's the heart of a different person, and then you suddenly have their memories or something. Because, you know, yeah, humans are very creative in that regard. We do not like other people's tissue to be in our tissue.
And as a doctor,
it is a human
real quick,
salad.
As a doctor, give your insight as to how likely anything like that is actually likely to happen.
Well, the thing that's likely to happen is that your body rejects the tissue salad and, like, the transplant fails, which is very traumatic for people for understandable reasons. It is not easy to go through a transplant, but the likelihood of turning into a serial killer because you, I guess, got the serial killer's lungs or, I don't know, brain or nose, not very likely so far, according to current medical research, but... You never know.
To actual research people and not like some creative writer.
So far. Exactly. Yeah. So, no. So, the title of today's episode will be Strange Love and Possessed Hands. Today, children, we will be talking about Alien Hand Syndrome, otherwise known as AHS, not American Horror Story, though the disorder may as well be the star of the next season. It's also known as Dr. Strangelove Syndrome.
I actually watched that movie because I was curious why so many people referenced it. And to be completely frank, I got kind of bored.
I read through the synopsis of the movie. I haven't watched it myself. And I got bored with that as well.
It was a little entertaining at the end, but there was a lot of points leading up to it where I was like, ugh.
Well, it's a movie from the 1960s, so I guess we can't be too surprised.
I can. I'm going to be surprised.
I don't really... You can be surprised. You are allowed. I will allow it. So, Fern, can you tell me what you think Alien Hand Syndrome is, other than serial killer hands? Do you have any other
idea? My guess then would be, like, it does things that you're not telling it to do. Like it's not transplanted, but it's still like going off and doing its own thing. And you're like, wait a second, hand, stop it.
Excellent. No, that's basically it. That's basically what Alien Hand Syndrome is. So it's a condition where, as its name implies, you lose control over your limbs, mostly the hands. So unlike in seizures, the movements seem intentional, they're rational. It's as if someone is in control of the affected appendage. So in most cases, the person affected, they're conscious, they're aware of what the limb is doing. They're sometimes unaware of what the limb is doing until it's brought to their attention. And the actions are completely and utterly out of their control.
Yes.
Make sense?
Yes.
So The reason it's also called Doctor Strangelove Syndrome is because that's referencing a movie, Doctor Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. It's a 1964 black comedy by Stanley Kubrick, Terry Southern, and Peter George about an Air Force general called, get ready for it, Jack D. Ripper. Okay. So he orders a nuclear attack on the Soviet Union, and there's a character in the movie who's a former Nazi general called Dr. Strangelove, who has to sort of grab a hold of one of his hands to stop it from doing the Nazi salute.
Oh, yeah. So I do that's remember why it's that. Called.
Yeah, that's why it's called.
Okay, fair enough.
Strangelove syndrome. Yeah.
I feel like there was something weird going on with his leg, too, but I don't remember well enough.
I don't think they were necessarily referencing alien hand syndrome, but it was just one of those things where I guess the person describing the disease was like, hey, I'm going to reference this movie because I'm so cool. Mm-hmm. And then they did.
Cool.
And then we got stuck with it, kind of, you know?
Well, I think, like, a lot of times authors think they're making something up when they're describing something that's actually real. Especially with medical things. Like, it can happen, you know?
The human body is cool.
Stranger than expected. I guess.
It's a very... Yes, that is... Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. It functions in ways that we are only just beginning to comprehend. That's another way to put it. So, basically, the first known case that was brought up in medical literature was in a case report that was published in German in the 1900s by a German neuropsychiatrist known as Kurt Goldstein. He described the case of a woman who suffered from a stroke affecting the left side of her body. She partially recovered by the time she presented to him, but she had one particularly strange symptom, which was that her left hand, she felt like it belonged to another person and performed actions that occurred independently of her will. So she kept saying that she feels strange in her relationship with her left hand. She feels like someone else was moving it. She was not moving it herself. So sometimes it would just like grasp different objects and then she could not tell it to release it.
Yeah, I just had a
And she suffered...
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
You've heard of chimera syndrome, where you have like separate DNA in your body in like different places of your body, right? Yes. I almost wonder, like, if you could potentially end up with that being a cause, like if you check the hand's DNA or perhaps the portion of the brain that controls that hand or something like that. If this was like maybe a case of chimera syndrome, where, you know, this is a person with a separate DNA in their body, and it was actually something like that was the cause.
It's a very interesting theory, honestly. I am going to go into some of the pathophysiology. It's a very complex thing because we don't really understand how the brain fully functions. Like, up till now, there are parts of the brain that we do, like, we have some understanding of its function, but not a complete picture. So it's difficult for us to understand why syndromes like this happen. Does that make sense? So let me tell you about why. Like, let's get to the point where why this happens, and maybe we can relate it to that theory. It's interesting. Okay. Basically, things that cause brain damage. And it can be damage to multiple different parts of the brain. Usually it's the frontal lobe of the brain. But lesions have also been described in the temporal lobe, the parietal lobe, and the occipital lobe. So... it's like there is no one part of the brain that can cause this. And the thing is that we look at different conditions that can cause this kind of brain damage. Okay. There are things like strokes, infection, epilepsy. I'll get more into that in a second. The first thing I want to talk about before we get into that, though, is the different kinds of alien hand syndrome.
Okay.
Because we simplify it by saying that, okay, you know, you just don't have control over your hand. But there are actually different types, and they're very interesting.
Okay. I'm strapped in. Let's go.
The first kind, strap your butts in, but no weird butts for this one. The first kind is known as utilization behavior.
Okay.
Okay. So in this case, the limb's behavior is directed by the environment. For example, you walk into a room and there's a hairbrush. That'll cause you to immediately pick up the brush and start brushing your hair. So the action itself is appropriate, right? You brushed your hair with the hairbrush. You didn't use the hairbrush to, like, whack yourself in the face, right? So it's an appropriate action.
But it's one that you can't control. Is it, like, every single time you come across a hairbrush, you automatically do it whether you want to or not?
Yes.
Well, I can see how that would be annoying. Exactly. Because, like, imagine you're in the grocery store and you see a hairbrush and you just sit there and, like, start brushing your hair. Yeah. And they're like, you're going to have to pay for that, ma'am, because, like, now we can't sell that to anyone else. So you would...
Now your scalp sickles are all over our brush.
Right, right.
You disgusting
heathen. So you would end up buying a whole lot of brushes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So fucking many, and you can't stop. But that's exactly it, though. It's like the action itself is appropriate. You're using tools appropriately. You're just doing it at an inappropriate time. And it's also that it's out of your control. You are controlled by your environment. And this particular type was coined in 1983 by François Lhermet. I don't know how to pronounce that in French. It is Lhermite. Fern. Do you know how to pronounce that?
I think it'd just be Lhermet, which does not sound like a French name.
Yes.
But I could be wrong.
Well, apparently... No, apparently it is. And the minute I saw it, I thought he was the same dude that was...
Lhermite.
Like, after which... There's
Is it L'apostrophe yes. H-E-R? Because it... Wait. Okay.
No.
I think it's just Lhermite. With a... But, like, with the R. Like,
yes.
Lhermite.
I can't say the R.
That's
roll
not a
R's.
Rolling. That's a guttural, which is different.
I can't gutterize my R's.
Well... Fine, you hoity-toity. Won't get into the gutter to roll your R's kind of thing.
Lhermite.
Meat.
I have been banned from France, French listeners. I'm so sorry. I authorize you to mispronounce one Arabic word. So I thought that this was the same dude after which we named, like, Lhermet's sign. So that's a sign in multiple sclerosis where if you flex your neck, you get these electric shock-like sensations running down your arms. I thought it was the same dude, but apparently it wasn't the same dude. And I was sincerely disappointed to learn that because I thought I made a connection and that connection fizzled in my neurons.
She felt very smart for 2 minutes.
But anyway, Fran... For not even 2 minutes, it was like 2 seconds. François Lhermet. So basically, François, utilization behavior, it can be severe enough that you lose your personal autonomy. And it's like your body becomes programmed by the world around you and your actions are less your own than they are a product of the external environment. So literally how you act depends on the tools that appear around you. And apparently there's a different kind of utilization behavior that affects people with ADHD, but their reason is not brain damage. Their reason is that they become so distracted that they cannot prioritize different tasks. And they use, they use things like different cues that help interrupt that pattern of thought. It's a whole different thing. It's not alien syndrome.
It's just being so distracted that you can't do what you're trying to do. Like, you just...
Yes.
Squirrel off into...
It's more that... It's less that you're distracted and more that you're overwhelmed by your environment, that you cannot prioritize your tasks.
So, have you been tested for this, Crow?
Listen.
I'm sorry. I love you. But as you're describing this, I'm thinking of, like, actual events.
And you know it's bad since me and Fern have never lived on the same continent, let alone like actually met in real life. So like everything she knows about me, she just knows like through
all of her
voice chats. And yet she still can remember and name events. That's when you know it's really bad.
Yes.
Yeah. So another type of alien hand syndrome is known as the callosal variant or the diagnostic dyspraxia intermanual conflict, where the affected hand, so let's call it the possessed hand, acts in opposition of the normal hand. So let's say you're trying to put your glasses on, Fern, with your normal hand. The possessed hand might grab those glasses and toss them across the room.
Well, that's annoying, because my dogs would definitely eat them then.
Yes.
They already ate one pair of glasses.
Exactly.
And when I got mad that they... I just need to tell you this. So my English Mastiff, who is still quite young, ate my glasses once. And I found him all mangled. And I was like, Paisley, you're in trouble now. And so she got in trouble. And then, like, after the trouble was over, she went out and she got the rest of the glasses that she'd taken outside and brought them to me and dropped them at my feet and then looked... repentant.
She's like, Mama, is this enough, Mama? Are you not mad anymore? That's so cute. She's such a cute fucking dog.
I can't stay mad at her. She is too cute. Yeah.
She's such a cute fucking dog. Like, I swear to God. Like, she is, like, the cutest dog ever in my book.
She's so sweet.
So, yeah, Paisley and the possessed hand, they work together to rid you of your glasses.
Which is a problem.
Because you are weak and you need glasses. Mm-hmm. Judgment. So let's, and or for example, another example is that let's say you're trying to smoke a cigarette because you want to make the lives of doctors harder, because then they will have to counsel you on how to stop smoking, and then they will lose marks in the exam that they spent 6 months preparing for. The possessed hand might grab it from your mouth and put the cigarette out, thus making my life easier and helping me pass the exam. I owe you, possessed hand. There have been also cases of, like, people trying to button their shirt, and then the possessed hand will unbutton the shirt. Sexy. And so on. But wait, there's more. There's alien hand sign, where the person simply feels that the other limb is not their own without there necessarily being activities that aim to harm, annoy, or embarrass them. There's also anarchic hand syndrome, where the possessed hand seems to act on its own free will. So like I said in the beginning, the actions are sensible, they're just not your own. So the hand might choose to watch a different show than you and not allow you to switch to the right channel. It might stroke your hair. It might embarrass you at a family dinner by stealing your brother's dessert and fight with you when you try to give it back. I'm using actual examples by people who've had to deal with this condition, by the way. I'm not making them up.
That sounds wild. Like, I can see how that would be very disruptive to someone's life.
And incredibly distressing, incredibly, incredibly distressing, especially when it first happens and you realize that it's happening.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's even, and what's even more terrifying is that there's even been cases where the possessed hand has tried to harm or even choke, hit the other person. The actual person. Right. See, I'm starting to get confused now.
Well, and that's terrifying, because what if it happens when you're asleep or something? There's nothing you...
It can happen when you're asleep. It can happen when you're asleep. It can, like, what if it harms other people and you have to explain to them that it's not actually you doing this?
Oh, that's true.
Honestly...
I was just thinking of that, like, if you have a partner and you're both asleep in bed and all of a sudden your hand starts wilding out and attacking the partner might assume that it's you consciously doing it, and it would really affect your relationship.
Exactly. I kept thinking that what if it, like, actually, it hasn't happened so far. I haven't come across a single case report of this happening. But what if someone with alien hand syndrome kills someone else because they can't stop themselves from doing it?
I don't know. I mean, we've dealt with the whole sleepwalking murder kind of thing.
Possession. Yeah. Yes.
With this, I think it would be a little... I think at some point the other person is probably interceding to try and stop it, like, you with their other hand, you know? I think there's that. But I think even if the other person, like the partner, your partner, understands and believes and fully comprehends that it's not you consciously making that decision, it's your hand, how do you feel safe around that person? You know, like, even if you...
I get that.
Even if you know and love and trust that person, you know that they can't control that hand, and it could...
Exactly.
Yeah, at any minute it could attack you, and that would be terrifying.
Lash out on you. I do want to make it clear mm-hmm. that I'm not calling anyone who experiences this weird. It's a strange disease in that not a lot of people have experienced it, and there is so much that we still don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can understand why it's incredibly distressing to have to actually live with, and we'll see why
in a bit more. Yeah.
As we go towards the end. So it's not really something fun to deal with or something quirky. It's like actually something that can be incredibly disruptive to people's lives. And usually the underlying cause of it is very distressing too.
Oh.
Because if we're talking about the underlying disorders, there's a couple that have been identified. The one that popped out the most in the research papers that I was looking up was stroke.
Oh.
It's not a common presentation of stroke by any means.
Mm-hmm. So it's not something you're likely to develop if you get a stroke, but there's always a chance that, that makes sense.
Exactly. It's like in most of the cases that I looked up where people were experiencing this, they already had other signs of stroke. Like, some of them had the weakness, some of them had, like, the confusion, the disorientation, abnormalities in sensation, abnormalities in perceiving the world around them, balance, all of that stuff. And then they also had this as, like, an additional sign.
Does that make sense? It does, yeah.
So there are other causes. There are things like epilepsy, psychosis, infection, tumors, and some degenerative conditions like Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease and Alzheimer's. It can also happen after a type of surgery called a corpus callostomy. Do you know what that is?
I'm thinking of something else, but does it cause like trouble between the communication of the two lobes of the brain?
You're very right, actually.
I know that though. It's because of FG syndrome is a natural cause of that. And the name, there was something similar in the name that's triggering and I can't remember exactly, but, the infamous film that has really pestered the autism community for a long time, Rain Man, portrayed a real man who had FG syndrome. And because he was misdiagnosed as autistic, and they didn't realize he was misdiagnosed until after the film had come out, you have the film Rain Man saying like this is autism when in fact they're portraying FG syndrome, and all of the extreme disability that he suffers is because the two lobes of his brain don't communicate. Has been problematic because it portrays autism as something that it is not. And has almost become a slur, I think, for the way that neurotypical people refer to autistic people. Like if you call an autistic person, and I can say it because I am autistic, Rain Man, that is not okay. In any way, shape, or form.
And you've heard it here first, guys. Actually, you haven't heard it here first. If you've heard it here first, I'm kind of concerned on where you've been spending most of your time, because I feel like most people by now know that you should not be referring to autistic people as that.
Correct.
Ever. Like, I'm not saying that if you have certain misconceptions, then you're, like, automatically ableist. Like, not at all, not at all. Mm-hmm. We all need to be educated. We can all learn stuff. Like, it's perfectly fine. I'm just saying that, I just feel like if you know the community in any way, shape, or form, even if you're not, like, deep into the community, then you will know that don't do that. Right. So, yes. Correct. Do not do that. So basically a corpus callostomy is, corpus callosum is white matter, like white matter fibers that connect the left and right parts of our brain, our cerebral hemispheres. And basically, this kind of surgery divides these bundles of tissues that connect the left and right sides of the brain, and it's used to treat severe cases of epilepsy. So there are different kinds of epilepsy, things like drop attacks, myoclonic, and tonic seizures. If they are severe enough that they are causing injury and they're not responding to other forms of treatment, sometimes doctors will recommend this kind of surgery, and unfortunately, alien hand syndrome can be one of the side effects of that. It's not very commonly reported, honestly. I have not come across a case report so far, but it was mentioned in one of the papers I was reading about alien hand syndrome, so I thought it was worth mentioning. So in all these cases, what happens is, and we're going to go into some neurology here. I'm going to keep it as simple as possible, and I'm also going to link to different case reports and different scientific articles that you can use if you want to go deep, deep into neurology. It can be very confusing because they actually go into the neuroanatomy and neurophysiology. I'm just saying like the basic stuff so that if you're interested, you can look at the articles. If you're not interested, you are not bored to death. Okay, so what happens is basically there's damage to the parts of the brain controlling voluntary movement. This is the primary motor cortex, in a way where it becomes separated or isolated from another part of the brain known as the premotor cortex. The function of the premotor motor cortex aren't completely understood, but it's thought to play an important role in controlling behavior and planning movement. So both of these parts are in the frontal lobe of the brain. When we have this disconnect between them, basically, let me explain. It's like when we get the urge to perform a movement for whatever reason, there's an orderly, very specific activation of different parts of the frontal lobe, including the two parts that I just mentioned. And this not only helps us execute movements, but helps us identify the movements as our own.
Yes.
Make sense?
Yes, I'm following. Go ahead.
When this fails, we lose the ability to differentiate self-generated movements from movements brought on by an external force. So we start to interpret those movements as alien or okay. possessed. That's why a lot of people with alien hand syndrome will not just say that, you know, my hand is moving abnormally. They will usually refer to the hand as, for example, let's say I'm a woman and I refer to the hand as him, uh-huh. you know, or someone. Some people will even give it a name. Like there was one patient, I think, who referred to her hand as Baby Joseph. And she like, that's she literally called him Baby Joseph. Yeah. It's because she interpreted his movement, his actions as like naughty. He would do things like pinch her and she would like just scold him and tell him to stop being uh-huh. naughty. So that's basically where it came from.
I guess it's better than if it
I
was.
I think it was Baby Joseph. It was baby something. I didn't write it in my notes. I just
a mischievous child controlling your hand would be like a better case scenario than like Jack the Ripper or some, you know, like someone more ominous.
I would rather Jack the Ripper control my hand, to be honest, than
I think
child.
He would die.
With Jack the Ripper or the child?
I mean, either, but probably the Ripper.
Yes, that's actually mm-hmm. fair. I will agree with you on that for now. So, like I said, we start to interpret those movements as alien. And there have been MRIs that were done to study alien hand syndrome, and it was shown that there's an isolated activation of the primary motor cortex, which, like we said, is responsible for voluntary movement without the sequential process we talked okay. about. So it becomes difficult for people to identify the movements as their own.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. And there are different theories. There are some theories that are saying that you are in control of those movements. You just don't realize it. There are other theories that say that, no, you don't have any control over those movements. So it's kind of like seizure activity, but it's a lot more purposeful. There's still a lot of ambiguity there. We're not 100% sure what exactly is going on. And so, and all of this I'm talking about is when we have lesions in the frontal lobe. I did mention that sometimes we have lesions in the temporal, parietal, or occipital lobe, and yet people have certain manifestations of alien hand syndrome. But for the vast majority of like cases, it's frontal lobe, it's problems with the parts of our brain that are responsible for voluntary movement and the initiation of voluntary movement. Mm-hmm. Cool?
Okay.
So I came across like several different cases. There's a case of an 81-year-old right-handed woman who developed alien hand syndrome in her left hand. So her hand began to choke her, hit her in the face, neck, and shoulder. But here's the thing. That wasn't why she was admitted to the hospital initially.
Oh.
She was actually brought in, yeah, because she was experiencing tingling in the left side of her body, numbness, a bit of weakness, disorientation.
Oh, that sounds serious.
And then on the second day, it's a stroke.
Yeah.
It's a stroke. So do you know what ischemia is?
I feel like I've heard that before, but I'm not really sure what it is. So I'm going to need you to tell me.
that's the thing. It's like, and I'm not saying this to sound pretentious. I'm saying this like anyone in their field, like whether it's like art or engineering or like whatever your field is, you become so used to the technical terms that you no longer know what is a technical term and what is a normal term. So I was just like, oh, like I didn't even bother looking up how to explain it to people because I was like, yeah, ischemia. Everyone knows ischemia.
Nope.
I
don't.
No, I'm sorry. So basically, ischemia is when the blood flow is reduced to a certain part of the body. So sometimes the tissue starts to die. And in some cases, it's just that blood flow is reduced. Because in stroke, you have two different kinds of stroke. You have hemorrhagic stroke, which is bleeding. And you have ischemic stroke, which is that blood is not reaching the part of the brain that it needs to reach.
Bad.
So no oxygen reaches that brain, that part of the brain.
Yes.
Yeah. So she basically had ischemic stroke. But on the second day, she started saying she was afraid of her left hand because it was hitting her. And she started to identify the hand as him and seemed to think that someone was causing the hand to try to harm her. She had a lot of other signs on examination, and you can read more about the case in the case report I've linked. But essentially, when they did an MRI, they saw a brain infarct in various parts of the right side of her brain.
Yeah.
Like, I came across four more cases of women ranging from the ages of 74 to about 80 with stroke resulting in alien hand syndrome. So literally, if you look up alien hand syndrome, the most common presentation will be stroke.
Okay, that does make sense. Yes.
Makes sense? Yeah, because you have damage. Like, it's one of the most common causes of damage to certain parts of the brain. Or, like, honestly, any part of the brain, depending on which artery or which part of your blood supply is involved. That's, like, one of the nightmares of the neurology part of medical exams. It's called localizing. Mm-hmm. So you have to basically figure out which artery is involved based on the patient's symptoms. It can be a lot of fun because you get to play detective, but it can also be very confusing.
So, I didn't see that. Yeah.
Yeah. There is another case report that described a 57-year-old woman that had alien hand syndrome in both hands.
Oh, no, that sounds awful. That would be a nightmare.
It was a nightmare, but the good news about that is that she responded to treatment better than a lot of the other case reports that I looked up.
Okay, well, silver linings.
In her case... Exactly. In her case, the left hand had an intermanual conflict, where we mentioned... Wait, I'm going to cough. So, the left hand had intermanual conflict.
Okay.
And the right one had involuntary reflexes. So it's called the grasp reflex, where basically it just grabs and grasps with her right hand and it won't let go of the objects. And this was because of damage to the corpus callosum and the frontal lobe. So it was ischemic strokes that affected both of those areas. So she had problems with like two different kinds of alien hand syndrome, which was, I thought, really interesting because it's very rare to see alien hand syndrome resulting from stroke in general. And then you get this woman who has a stroke and then suddenly has two different types of alien hand syndrome. So one hand opposes the actions of the other hand, and then the other hand is just grabbing things and not letting them go.
It's a nightmare. I was going to say that would really suck for her. I hope, yeah. Yeah, I can see how that would be a problem.
It really, and that's, you know, what I mentioned in the beginning, which was that this, like, it can seem really interesting to us as observers when we're actually discussing the case from the safety of our hands that we can control, but it can be actually really distressing to people because, unfortunately, there is no cure for alien hand syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
One of the case reports, the one about the 57-year-old woman, said that they managed to improve her condition and show evidence of it by using a type of treatment called the verbal cue training method, which is technically a type of physiotherapy. And this is a quote from the case report. It says, whenever she showed intermanual conflict in her left hand, her guardian, or like the physiotherapist, verbally prompted her with instructions to complete the movement she wanted to perform correctly. Does that make sense?
So, yeah, it does. I'm just kind of surprised it worked, to be honest.
It did. It did, because, like, but this had to be repeated several times over several days before it started to, like, show improvement. Mm-hmm. They say verbal cues were patiently used until the patient corrected her discordant movements herself. There are other methods, like, for example, keeping the possessed hand occupied or distracted. Like, let's say if the hand has a habit of grabbing random things, occupying it with a fidget object or an object to grasp has been shown to help. So there was a dude, for example, whose hand kept grabbing onto random things and would not release them. So what he started doing is that he started walking with a cane. So because he is gripping onto the cane, the hand will not let go of the cane to grab other stuff. Does that make sense?
No. Oh, that actually makes perfect sense. I can, yeah. I don't know what else to say, but yeah, I get that.
Exactly. No, I get you. I get you. And there are other things, like, for example, sitting on the hand, applying warm water, visual distraction, wearing oven mitts or phone hands to limit its connection to the surrounding environment, or even irritating alarm systems. And they actually say irritating alarm systems, like that. Wasn't something I made up. Usually, if there's only damage to one side of the brain, like, for example, only the right side or only the left side, the condition gradually improves on its own with time, and it usually gets better within a year. They think this is because of something known as neuroplasticity, which is when our neural networks, they basically change, rewire, reorganize to reestablish the lost connections that we talked about. But, like, if there is there a definitive cure that, you know, same way that we give antibiotics?
Probably not. I'm going to assume no.
No, there isn't. There isn't. But, yeah. And, yeah, there you have it. That is alien hand syndrome.
Oh, that sounds really rough. I feel really bad for anyone who has to deal with that. That would be very terrifying. Like, legitimately, you'd be living a nightmare movie, you know, like a horror movie.
It really does. And the thing is, you know, I couldn't really find, like, I'm still looking. Maybe by the time I upload this episode, I will be able to find some videos. But, like, I couldn't really find people experiencing it actually being able to tell their story and talk about their experience. It was all from the medical point of view, which, yeah, it's interesting to know why the body functions the way it functions sometimes, but I want to hear people who are experiencing it. I want to know what they're going through and if they have any kind of support, because that's a really important part of treating patients. It's like, do you have support? Because, okay, it's interesting for me to know that the brain can mess up sometimes and do that, but then what does the patient do? What do I tell them to make them feel better? You know, do I just tell them that, yeah, you're just going to have to wait this out for a year, but then what are they going to do throughout the year? Like you said, it's going to affect their relationships with their partners. There were cases, I didn't come across a case yet where, like, there was things like domestic abuse, but there were a lot of cases that mentioned that they would do really embarrassing stuff, like the lady who's, like, literally, sometimes it would harm them, like, her hand grabbed a bunch of fish bones and shoved them into her mouth, and then grabbed her brother's ice cream and just, like, started tossing it everywhere, and, like, so is there support in that regard?
Yeah.
Or do they just have to wait it out for a year?
Yeah, no, that, I don't know. That does just, I would be horrified if that happened to me. So I felt really bad for that poor woman.
Yeah, honestly, and that's the thing. It's like when you read the medical reports, a lot of them kind of just, I don't even know. Like it sounds almost like you're watching these things through, I don't know, from the protection of your computer screen, where you're like, oh, that's so interesting, that's so strange, but then you don't have to actually experience it. And I know it's incredibly rare. It's not something a lot of doctors think about because you don't really see it. It's not something that a lot of people think about. The only reason I came across it was because of that movie.
It sounds like an episode of Twilight Zone, not real life, you know? And
it
does.
It sounds like an episode of Black Mirror.
Well, those two shows go hand in hand, I think.
Fair.
But I just imagine if you were going through that, people have a tendency to deny really widespread disorders like anxiety and depression, or like even autism, if it's not like, if you're not like a 8-year-old white boy. Like they're like, oh, but women can't have that, you know. And it's the dumbest thing. Like, people try and deny medical conditions all the time, and when you talk about something like this that's both rare and sounds absolutely wild, I imagine that they have a lot of trouble getting people to take it seriously and to believe them. And they're like, I just see all of these scenarios in my head of someone doing something they didn't mean to do, like not being able to control their hand, and people being like, whatever, you're just lying to make up excuses. Like, you're just trying to make up excuses so you can do whatever you want and act like an asshole. And the poor person over there would just be destroyed. Like, can you imagine what that would do to you emotionally? Yeah. Like, that, yeah. It would be so difficult.
Of course. And it's also, if you go to a doctor, like I imagine if a doctor who is not familiar with alien hand syndrome heard this, they would probably just be like, oh, this is a very obvious case of psychosis, and would just refer you to psychiatry without even doing an MRI. It happened, like, I know of a case where it happened to a guy with something known as neurocysticercosis, where basically you have cysts in your brain that are basically cooking your brain from the inside out.
That sounds awful.
And yeah. Yeah, and scanning was not done for this patient until, unfortunately, it was too late to treat him. Because the neurologist kept referring him to psychiatry, thinking that it was psychosis, it was psychosis, it was psychosis. And it's like, it was not psychosis.
Oh, that's terrible.
It was,
Isn't that something that would show up on, like, a brain scan?
Yes, but the brain scan was not done.
That is deeply frustrating.
Yeah, because, like, and the crazy thing is, this is not a case of, like, the research says you need to exclude physical causes before you jump to psychosis. Don't just jump to psychosis. Don't just jump to, oh, the patient doesn't know what they're talking about. It's their body.
Right.
Most people know what they're talking about.
Well, okay? Today's...
Exclude the physical causes.
Yeah. And this is a perfect example of why. But I was just going to say, today's episode is brought to you by medical horror.
Yes. It is. And yeah, I've been wanting to do a medical episode for a while, just because I like talking about medical things without them having to do with exams.
Yeah.
So I hope everyone enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it, Fern, and weren't bored out of your mind by me trying as much as I can not to include a lot of physiology.
No, I was so bored. No, I'm kidding. It was very interesting and also kind of terrifying to think about, but yeah.
Yes, it is. If you guys like this, I might do more weird medical stuff, like here and there. It'll be my in between here and there, depending on how much people like this episode. We will be back to weird fiction and, I don't know, writing analysis. Not next week, because that'll be Fern's episode, the week after the next. So we're,
I was just going
to
say.
Basically, to give ourselves more time to properly research episodes, because a lot of the episodes that we do are incredibly research intensive. And in order to not have too many delays, what we're going to do is that we're going to cut back to one episode a week, and we'll alternate between me and Fern. So that each of us has like approximately 2 weeks to research and like come up with a script and all of that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So. And
that's the announcement. And obviously,
no, yeah, oh, I was going to say, and on the back of that, I will just plug next week's episode, which is going to deal with a very modern cryptid that I think is a very well documented case where people were actually physically injured, unfortunately. It's a very, very interesting case.
But it's Slenderman.
It's not Slenderman. Oh, my gosh. That would be a case where
it's Mothman.
People were actually physically injured, though. Yeah, no, I don't think I'm going to touch.
It's the Jersey Devil.
You're not right. But we will get to what it is next week. And I think it's
Ebenezer
Scrooge. It's a fascinating cryptid with some tragic results attached to it.
It's someone's mom. Clarice, with those hair curlers and a green mud mask.
You're just getting closer and closer with these guesses. What am I going to do?
Thank you. I'm so smart. But yeah, also, we're also going to be releasing these episodes on Thursday. Like, it used to be Tuesday and Thursday. Now it's just going to be Thursday, just so everyone knows. But anyway, if you enjoyed this episode, then feel free to give us a follow. We are available on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts. If you really enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave us a review, because we would love to hear what you think. And also, you can follow us on social media, because we're available on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and most recently Tumblr. And we also have an email if you want to tell us about the weird happenings in your life or want to make suggestions on what we should cover next. But until next time, this was Crow and
I'm Fern.
And I don't know what I used to say. We'll catch you later. Bye.
Tuning out.
You
or
say
whatever.
Bye. Yeah. You say bye.
Bye. I say okay, sorry.